Let's go to your grandfather, Stephen Miller Williams.
Stephen Miller was my grandfather, and his three sons, Charles, David, and Miller. My father was the oldest of the three boys. My grandfather was born in South Carolina, but he retired in Arkansas. He's the one that grew up during the Civil War. I think he was 16 after the Civil War. One of the family stories is that he was 16 years old at the Virginia Military Institute, VMI. Robert E. Lee died and was buried there, and he was one of the student pallbearers for Robert E. Lee. Time-wise, it was, I think, about 1870. But back to Arkansas, my grandfather retired, and he had his two younger sons with him in Fort Smith, Arkansas.
You were around your grandfather?
No, we were in Cuba. I didn't meet my grandfather until after the war.
So you were in your 20s, obviously.
Yeah, I was in my 20s, yeah.
He was a businessman, wasn't he?
He was a civil engineer. He made a living going around the country building plants for different companies. He built several manufacturing plants for Procter & Gamble. I think he retired about age 65 with his two younger sons, and they grew up in Fort Smith. That's where the story starts about where Dave and Miller started, the Williams brothers. My father was in Cuba, and he loaned them the money to get started. Their first contract was three blocks of sidewalk in Fort Smith in 1908. That's why last year we celebrated the 100th anniversary of Williams. I think that Dave was 23 and Miller was 21.
Is it true that Miller had saved $600 from working at Procter & Gamble? And he asked his brother to join him as they did some concrete work in Fort Smith, Arkansas?
Yeah, that's the three blocks of sidewalk.
Okay, and then they got a loan of $1,000 from their father's assistant, and they bought some tools, and they were in business.
Right. And then they borrowed money from their older brother to expand the business. And I think they got into the pipeline business about 1914 or 15. They built the first short pipeline.
So your grandfather was in his late 50s when his two sons started the Williams Brothers companies.
Yes, and he was never in the business.
But he served as counsel to them, didn't he?
I assume, as most fathers would.
Right.
Yeah. And my father was never in the business except to help him financially.
Then they formed the Williams McCrary Construction Company?
Mm-hmm. Then they started building mainly concrete structures. And I think they built some bridges also.
And in 1916, they built the first pipeline?
Well, I think they built the first pipeline in 1914 or 15. Then I believe they moved to Tulsa about 1921 or 22.
And 23, I believe it is, what I read, that the Williams brothers became an international pipeline builder.
By international, I think they built a job in Canada. The first job in South America was in 1939. Because I remember I was a junior in college then. I went and worked that summer in Venezuela on that pipeline, which at the time was a joint venture between Bechtel Corporation and Williams Brothers.
You were talking about while you were in the war, but during World War II, Williams built pipelines known as Big Inch and Little Big Inch.
They built parts of it. One of them was a crude oil line, and one was a gasoline pipeline. The German subs were sinking tankers that were going from the refineries on the Gulf Coast up to the East Coast. So they hurried up to build a pipeline from Texas to the East Coast, and that was the Little Inch and the Big Inch.
The brothers eventually ended up in Tulsa because of the oil business.
Exactly, because Tulsa was the world headquarters of the oil business. At least we claim to be.
Well, as I understand, back in that time, 1918, 1920 in there, there were 700 producers, 431 oil and gas companies, and not one pipeline company. So when they came to town...
And we weren't a pipeline company like we are today. We were a pipeline builder, a contractor. But this is where the action was, I'm told. At that time, remember, I was 3 years old, so I wouldn't know.
No. And, of course, it wasn't always easy. I mean, they went broke several times, didn't they?
They certainly did. And particularly in the Depression of the 30s. One thing you may not know, on Riverside Drive, the railroad overpass about 30th Street, mm-hmm. Williams Brothers built that overpass over Riverside. And it's still there. They're really? Looking for anything to do. I mean, any kind of work they could find. So that came up to build that railroad overpass over Riverside Drive. So they bid on it and were the low bidder and built it.
And it stands today.
1937.
We move along here. In 1949, Dave and Miller retired and sold part of the company to Dave's son, David Williams Jr., and their nephews, Charles P. Williams Jr., and to you, John Williams. Is that the way that happened?
Not quite. After the war, I went to work for William Brothers, as did my brother Charlie. Brother Charlie spoke Spanish as I did. He was down in Venezuela, pretty much overseeing the business in Venezuela. David, who was younger, to put it in context, in 49, when the change took place, my brother was 34, I was 31, and David was 28. My brother Charlie was a captain in the Army Engineers and stationed over in India. He was mainly working on the Burma-China pipeline, taking gasoline into China. And David, who was the son of David Williams, he was a fighter pilot, and he flew P-51s over in Germany. But anyway, in 49, Truman announced that our Korean War effort was going to be paid for as we went. He announced this 6 months ahead of time, that on November 1st of 49, the tax rate would go up to 95% to pay for the war as long as the Korean War lasted. My two uncles decided that they didn't want to carry on that basis. They were in their 60s, so they wanted to retire. They wanted to liquidate their company, and they didn't have anybody to sell it to. They had jobs in progress they couldn't really liquidate, so my brother, Charlie, and David and I formed a company, the new company that's now called Williams Companies, to take over the existing business and to carry on the business effort. We organized the company so that we would take over everything on October 31st, the day before the new tax deal went into effect in 49. Of course, my uncles, particularly Uncle Miller, who was the head of William Brothers, helped organize this whole thing, and I became CEO of it at age 31, and Charlie and David became executive vice presidents. Each of us was going to get 20% of the new company. We organized $25,000 capital. We each put in $5,000. I remember I had $3,000 and I had to borrow $2,000 to put my five in. The other 40% was distributed among some of the senior people in the old company that stayed with us.
You were 31. You were saving down through the years to come up with $3,000?
I'd been Navy and I was working. I had worked, remember, after I got out of the Navy.
But you were a saver.
Well, I'd saved $3,000.
Yeah.
And maybe a little poker winnings, something like that, too. The uncles decided who was going to run the company, and fortunately for me, they decided I should be the one to run it.
Why do you think they chose you?
I always wondered. I perhaps was more aggressive than some of the others. Of course, in those days, you didn't know how little you didn't know, so we had the world by the tail. It was simple financing, too. We had the $25,000. We bought all the equipment from them on a slow note at 4% interest. The sellers helped us very much. They allowed us to go to the bank and borrow $1 million and pledge the equipment as collateral. We didn't own it. I mean, we had just bought it, but we hadn't paid for it. And that gave us the capital to start it.
Which bank was that?
First National Bank.
Here in Tulsa?
Here in Tulsa, yeah.
Who was president of the bank at the time?
Otis McClintock.
So in family, this was not just handed to you guys. You had to buy your way in.
Yes, we did.